Hey, this is Michael from Modern Musician, and before we start the show, I wanted to let you know that right now, I'm looking for new artists to mentor personally. Specifically, we're looking for artists that have at least one song professionally recorded. It doesn't have to be, you know, Beyoncé-level production, but it just needs to be something that you feel proud of and you're ready to promote. We're looking for artists who are really just poised for growth and are ready to go all in on their music. And yeah, there's this saying that when the student's ready, the mentor appears. And so that's you. If you're truly ready for it, then I want to invite you to apply for a free coaching call with our team. The goal is to launch an automated system that allows you to build a loyal and engaged fan base so you can make a sustainable income with your music online without having to sell your soul to social media or post 20 times a day on TikTok. Before we get started, we always offer a free 30-minute coaching call to make sure it's a good fit before you get your campaign launched. At this point, the artists that we've worked with have hit over 561.3 million streams, a number one album on iTunes, and have helped many artists grow from scratch to making a full-time income with their music online. In a few rare cases, they've even been able to generate $1 million per year with their music. That being said, we are very selective with who we work with, just based on who's the best fit and who we can best serve. And because we have a limited amount of time available for those free sessions, we do require an application process where you can submit your music and you can apply for a free coaching call with our team. So if you're interested, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to submit an application and share one of your songs. I'm looking forward to checking out your music, and now let's start the show.
There's no contact information. That's such an important thing to include on your website, because you could be missing out on opportunities to be interviewed on podcasts. You could be missing out on, there might be label interest, there could be management interest, there could be people trying to book you for a show. And if they've got no way of contacting you, maybe it's not surprising to you, but it surprised me actually.
Welcome to the Modern Musician Podcast, where each week I help you turn your passion for making music into a profitable career. This is all about you discovering and expressing who you really are so that you can build a loyal fan base that truly resonates with you and with your music, and you can impact more people with your artwork. I'm your host, Michael Walker, and let's get into it. Yeah! All right, I'm excited to be here today with my new friend, Ross Barber-Smith. Ross is the founder of Electric Kiwi. He launched Electric Kiwi in 2011. He provides web design branding services for musicians from indie artists to Billboard-topping stars. And he has had coverage in outlets like Hypebot and TuneCore. He co-hosts a video podcast called Bridge the Atlantic, where they spotlight musicians and creative entrepreneurs. And I can't really think of a whole lot of people who would be better suited to have a conversation today about building your website presence, and specifically building a website that matches your artist identity. So Ross, appreciate you taking the time to be here on the podcast today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Awesome. So let's get started with maybe just for anyone who is the first time connecting with you, maybe you could share a little bit about your background and kind of how you got started working with artists as it relates to helping with their web design.
Sure. So I started out wanting to be a musician, and I went to college to study popular music. And I do have a degree in popular music performance, but in my last year, things kind of fell apart a little bit, and kind of that led me on the path of wanting to do something involved in the music industry, but not the performing side of things. So to go further back, I'd been designing websites since I was 12. And as part of our college course, we had to build a website, we had to do a project which involved websites. And that ended up going really well. And I thought, well, the performing side's maybe not going to be for me, but the website side's for me. But only, and the caveat was, it had to be for musicians, because I don't really care about anything else, really. Couldn't really find a job doing that. So I decided to, I did take a job doing websites for, it was like for hotels and accommodation. So that was, it was a good way of learning how to work with clients. But at the same time, I didn't really care about these clients. So I was doing some freelance stuff on the side, and it got to a point really where it was time to take the leap. So I connected with an artist that I'd been a fan of for many, many years on Twitter. She said she was looking for an intern in LA. And I was like, I'm not in LA, but I am who you're looking for. So can we make stuff happen? And to my surprise, she said yes. And then she introduced me to my first paying client. And then it kind of snowballed really from there. Just taking that chance and then doing work that people were happy with led to more work. So it's been, 13, 14 years now, and I'm still doing it. So I'm pretty happy with that.
Awesome. Well, I mean, 15 years of doing it. And one of the first things that I noticed when I went to your website was, wow, this is very well designed. So you've definitely picked up, you know, tools of the trade in the past 15 years. And I'm sure, you know, working with artists for over a decade now, that you've probably noticed some of the same challenges or mistakes or issues that they have when they kind of first come in with their websites. So I'd love to hear your perspective on what are some of those biggest mistakes or challenges that artists might be facing as it relates to their website.
Yeah, I think it does vary from artist to artist, and the team that they've got around them, or they may not have a team at all. So there's definitely challenges, I think, around what they should include on the website and also the visual direction that they take. Because I think it's too tempting to kind of want to dive in and go like full bells and whistles when, you know, maybe that's not actually appropriate for what you need. Maybe that's not really going to work. So I think that, yeah, when an artist comes to me, one of the first things I want to find out from them is, you know, where are things right now in terms of your career, and what have you got coming up for the next 6 to 12 months? Because that's really going to help guide what we need to focus on as the main sort of focal point, content-wise. And it should also help guide the visual direction a little bit as well. Like if it's a new album, for example, we're probably going to theme things around the visuals of the album. You know, if it's a tour, then we want to make sure that the tour dates and the tickets are really easy for people to find, because people don't want it. You don't want people to have to hunt around to find what you want to guide them towards. So yeah, the purpose is kind of the big thing that I like to find out from clients. And sometimes like that can be a challenge to find out, but most of the time, you know, if you've got an album coming out, you know, if you've got a tour coming up, you know, if that's the main thing. So yeah, that can be. Reining it in, I guess, is probably one of the big challenges, is setting the expectations realistically and knowing how your website is going to serve the audience.
Super helpful. Yeah, so it sounds like what you're saying is that really the place to start is by clarifying what's the main purpose or the main thing that you really want to bring attention to. And it's easy to sort of go overboard and want it to do everything, but then, yeah, that might not actually be serving the audience when, like, if you know that the most important thing that you really want to focus around is a new release or an upcoming tour. So kind of figuring out what's the goal of the next 6 to 12 months is usually a good place to start.
Exactly. I think that your audience is, you know, who you're serving. I mean, obviously with an artist website, it's about representing yourself and showcasing your music and what you've got coming up in a way that matches your overall brand and your identity. So like that's the other kind of challenging part, is pulling that out. Mm-hmm. And I guess if I was to give one solid piece of advice that's really going to help you, not just with your website, but will help with your social media, it'll help with your album artwork, single artwork, anything visual, is find a great photographer and get as many amazing shots as you can, because they are going to serve you way more than a lot of things that you can invest your money in. Good photography goes such a long, long way.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it sounds like, you know, one thing that you definitely recommend not slacking on is finding a photographer to, you know, capture footage, so that, you know, those photos that you take really represent your identity in a professional way.
Yep. It elevates more than I can probably say in a few sentences. It makes such a big difference. And from a designer's perspective, it's so much easier to work with great photography than anything else. It really is, just words can't describe. It makes it so much easier.
Awesome. What do you see as like the role of video content as relates to web design as well? Like, do you think it's equally as important to have like a really like high quality video? If so, like what do you usually as a designer, like, what's your favorite tool belt to work with?
I mean, video is great. I think I would normally say, like, content-wise, you probably want to have at least one really solid music video that represents you as an artist. Because I think in, so you know, and that can be used in so many different ways. That can be used in your socials. It can be used on the website. I definitely think it's worth investing in at least one really solid video. I know there's a lot of debate right now whether music videos are important anymore, or whether short form content is, you know, the way to go. And I think that can vary a bit depending on who your audience is. But I would say one solid video that can be used you know, as the main kind of introduction to you on your website, that can then be split up into shorter videos for socials, is really going to be helpful. And I guess if you're looking to use video in a design, I know a lot of people like to use like a video background behind some text. I think that can also work really well as long as it's not too distracting.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so normally you recommend getting just at least one really high quality music video, and then you can repurpose that for social media. You can put it, you can do a lot with that one video as long as it represents yourself. Cool. You know, one question that I'm curious to hear your perspective on is sort of like a contrast between, I'm sure as a designer, you probably see a lot of websites. You probably see a lot of like not well done websites from artists. And you've seen a lot that you absolutely love, and you've created some that you absolutely love. So I'm curious, like, what are some of the big things that stick out immediately when you browse like an artist website? They're like, oh, it almost hurts me just to like see this, because you know, it's such like a glaring issue. But maybe something that people aren't even aware that they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a lot of visual things that maybe come down more to personal taste rather than being something that's not wrong. I would say probably one of the big things that kind of drives me nuts actually is when there's no contact information. To me, like, that's such an important thing to include on your website, because you could be missing out on opportunities to be interviewed on podcasts. You could be missing out on, you know, there might be label interest, there could be management interest, there could be people trying to book you for a show, and if they've got no way of contacting you, you know, you could be missing out on stuff. So that's probably more of a content thing, but it's not surprising to you, but it surprised me actually when I sort of look at how many people don't have that. It's a lot. From a design perspective, the kind of things that irk me and can sort of tell me that a website is not professionally done or professionally minded is like low-res photography and probably badly written bios. Those are probably the two kind of things that grab me, because they instantly make me think that this artist is not working on a professional level. And that's not always the case. Sometimes that's actually just an unfortunate side effect of, you know, having a poor bio or poor photography. But if that's what it's saying to me, then it's probably what it's saying to industry people who are visiting the website, and possibly, you know, just fans who are visiting the website. If they feel like it's not up to scratch, then they might not be as willing to invest in, you know, giving you a follow on social media or streaming you, because their first impression is not right.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I feel like it's one of those things that sometimes can be hard to quantify, because it is like kind of like you have to see it to understand it, or really kind of like fully grasp it. But like when you go to a website and it's like really good, and you initially have to like, whoa, like it makes an impression on you, just in terms of like it speaks for itself, like the quality of it speaks for itself. And you know, we make, you know, kind of gut level assumptions just based on the quality of something that we see. On the flip side, I also think about kind of like my background in digital marketing funnels and like building systems for like growing businesses, and I think sometimes there's like a disconnect between sort of like the appearance of like people like want to appear a certain way, but even if they look awesome or shiny, like, but they don't actually have like, you know, things set up in a functional way, then they're missing a lot of the opportunity to specifically what you just talked about. Like, you know, if they're missing their contact form on their website, and it's like, wow, like, well, it doesn't matter how shiny, you know, your car is if you don't have an engine to like drive it anywhere. So I'm curious from you as like the designer perspective, what's your general thought process around like the functionality of the website, and what would your advice be to an artist that, you know, wants both? You know, they want to both have like an amazing website that reflects well, that positions them with quality, but also as effective as like a business generator.
Yeah, because like that is sometimes a hurdle. Like sometimes some of the requests that a client might make are made from a creative standpoint, not taking into account the functionality that's needed. So that can sometimes be an opportunity to educate and sort of slightly change the, you know, the direction a little bit, because the functionality, I think, has to be the most important thing. because it's, a website can look interesting, it can look nice, it can look creative, but if you're not getting any results from it, it's just a fancy looking piece of art. And sometimes that's what an artist wants, but is not what they need. So it's finding that balance between the want and the need and how that's going to serve both them as an artist and the people who are visiting it. So I would say, like, if I was to rank things, the functionality probably would actually be top, and then the design or visual elements would be second. A close second. They should work together, but I don't think functionality should ever be sacrificed for the visual aspect.
Awesome. I mean, that definitely makes sense. So, you know, generally you want to have both, but functionality is sort of like the core purpose of the website being there. So you want to make sure that that's, handled first. So in terms of functionality, where would you recommend that? I mean, I know you mentioned that it kind of depends on people's goals. Do they have an upcoming album or like a tour or whatnot? But from your experience, like, what are some of the most effective or great examples of websites that you think artists should consider as they're kind of thinking about their own website and trying to decide, like, really, what should I make the core function and what should I do? Like, what should I promote with that?
I think the advice I would give would be make a list of kind of what you've got going on and where you would like people to go. So kind of think about it from the perspective of, right, so I have a new album. So what do I need on the website to support that album? So I think an obvious thing would be have the album artwork and streaming or purchase links somewhere very easy for someone to find. So make sure you've got all those in order. Does your bio reference the new album? No? Okay, let's get that updated and make sure there's a reference to the album in there. Are you looking to get some press around the album? Well, if so, then you probably want to have an electronic press kit on the website so that it's easy for bloggers and podcasters to get the information they need from you. And then a press section where you can, post all the press that you're going to get for that website. And I think the other thing to support that would be, are there any videos to accompany that release? If so, they should be on the website as they come out. And going back to the all important contact information, do people have a way of contacting you if they want to, do anything with the music? Do they want to sync it, license it for something? Or do you just want to have a way for people to reach you to ask you questions? They might want to know more about the lyrics. Who knows? So those would be, I say, make a list of all the things that you need to support that particular thing. And then move on to another section. So are you touring? Right. Yes. What do you need in order to promote the tour? For most artists, it's something like Bands in Town or Songkick. Because that's going to give you an easy way of listing the dates and for people to go and get the tickets. So that's to go down on your checklist as well. And I would say it's probably, I would recommend that if you are kind of stuck and you need some inspiration, try and find like 3 or 4 artists who are at a similar kind of level, or maybe just the level slightly above you, and look at their websites. Don't go all in and look at, any list celebrity websites, because to be frank, a lot of them, they don't have the same needs as an independent artist does. So they're not going to be designed with the same approach that I think independent artists need. So it can be nice to look at them maybe for some visual inspiration, but no, functionality wise, I'd be looking at artists who are like same or slightly more established than where you're at, because that's probably where you should be aiming.
That's definitely helpful. Yeah, I think sometimes it's easy to look at like the biggest artists in the world and try to kind of replicate that, and then not realize that actually, like, before they were the biggest artists in the world, like, they actually started here, and like, here were kind of like the steps that they took to get there, as opposed to just trying to jump ahead 100 steps to be there. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, so I'm curious, I'm kind of just like personally curious, the tools that you use, like the platforms, like when you're working with artists, do you generally like custom create websites nowadays, or are there like specific website builders that you find work really well for artists? And what would you recommend for most people who are listening to this right now who might be looking at like the actual functionality of, maybe they work with you and then they want to make a tweak on something and they're kind of wondering what's the best way to do that? What's been your experience there?
So the way that I work is I use WordPress for all of the websites I build for artists, partly because you own it completely, the website. It's not tied to another platform, which could then hike their costs up. So that's one of the main reasons I use that. And I build a custom theme for every client, and I provide a user guide so they can make the day-to-day kind of updates moving forward. So like adding a new release, adding new shows, adding bio updates, all that kind of thing. And when it comes to design changes, normally they'll come to me and we'll work together on those. There's plenty of kind of more DIY platforms, like there's Squarespace, there's Wix, which I think, you know, work well for artists who want to give it a shot themselves. You can do pretty nice work if you're willing to invest the time in learning how to use the platform. But personally, they're just not something that I use myself. But yeah, I think the other reason that I like to do a custom theme for each project is that every artist is different. So I feel that their website should be unique to them. And that just gives me the flexibility to not be tied to a specific template or structure when we're building it. And we can really tailor it to the artist's vision.
Cool. Okay. So WordPress. I mean, I don't have a ton of personal experience with WordPress, but I do know that it's been around for a very long time, and it's sort of an established platform to be able to create things like customized themes that everyone really can have their own space. And it's something that is unique. I'm curious around monetization, you know, and like with websites. You know, we talked a little bit about the functionality of the websites and kind of plugging those into something like an album release. But have you seen any creative things that people are doing with their websites that are really designed to help them to monetize their career and to be able to generate sustainable income? What are some of the best ideas or recommendations that you have related to artists using their websites to monetize the music?
For artists, I think kind of the big one is the merch sales, because you can make quite a good amount of money by selling merch from your site. Sorry, my dog is yawning. I'd say merch is probably the big one. What else have I seen other artists do? Even selling things, it's still related to merch, but selling kind of more personalized things can work really well. So if you're an artist who's really known for their lyrics and you're always having people tell you that they connect with your lyrics, like selling handwritten lyrics that are personalized to the person buying them can be a really nice thing to sell. I've got a few clients who do that, and these are not like artists that have got, you know, tens of millions of followers or anything like that, but they do have a dedicated fan base, and that's one of the things that their fans have asked them for. So I think that's part of it. It can really be about listening to what your audience wants and providing things that they're willing to spend the money on, especially if it's a bit personal. It's not something that they're going to find anywhere else. And, you know, platforms like Patreon and all those kind of crowdfunding things are really good to integrate with the website as well. But yeah, I think that in 2025, I think we're moving towards personalization and authenticity and things that feel special. I think that with all, you know, the talk around AI and everything that's going on just now, I think that anything that you can provide to your audience that feels like it's coming from you, a real human and an artist that they love, is going to be kind of key. So I'd be thinking of ways that you can offer products and experiences through your website and the store that they're not going to be able to get anywhere else.
Awesome. Yeah, it's a really interesting time to be alive and to be making music, and with the rise of like AI, it sounds like what you're saying is that you think that part of that wave is going to create more of a need for authenticity and for people to feel like they're really connecting with you and not just a robot. And so the more you can kind of lean into doing things that would be really hard to for like an AI to do, which as I'm kind of reflecting, I'm like, I wonder what's going to be like. It seems like they're getting really good at doing all the stuff, you know. Like, reminds me of the CAPTCHA, like those things where it's like now some of the things that it's having you do is like stand on one leg and turn your head sideways and match the puzzle piece together for like a college thesis statement, and you know, and prove that you're a human.
Oh, I had the puzzle piece one when I was trying to buy tickets on Ticketmaster, and I was like, I'm going to run out of time because this question is so hard.
It's like make sure they're facing the right way. But like take the number of dogs that are on the screen and divide it by pi. It's like, wow. What are your thoughts in terms of like, do you think that these tools like that you should kind of try to zig when everyone else is zagging and like kind of, you know, just go all in on like the human, like personal side of it? Or do you also think that it's important to kind of be using these tools and to be exploring like AI as it relates to web design, for example? I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it as a web designer.
Yeah. I mean, I've used some AI stuff here and there, mostly for problem solving. So if I'm coding, for example, and something's not working, I find it really useful to copy and paste the section of code that I'm struggling with into ChatGPT and just ask it what's wrong. Mm. So sometimes it will solve it instantly. And I'm like, great, okay, I've saved myself an hour and a half of pain. Other times it won't solve it, but the answer it will give will trigger something in my memory that leads me to the solution. So I think there's absolutely uses for me as a designer. I find sometimes when like an artist might send me their bio and I think, right, the bones of this are all good, but the grammar's maybe wrong or there's something not quite right with it. And I'll shove it into ChatGPT and just say, don't change the words, but just make this grammatically correct. And like that can go a long way. Like that's saves me having to tell an artist, no, you need to have your bio rewritten, because it's actually most of the time it's fine. It's just needs polished. So I find it useful from that perspective. So I would say it's definitely useful to kind of get familiar with the AI tools that are out there and see how they can help improve your workflow. So I would say rather than replacing things that you do, can it assist you in just making those things easier? Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I stand with AI, because yeah, it's a thin line, isn't it? Like between like letting it do everything for you and just being an assistant to, you know, support you. And I'd like to lean more towards the assistant than the replacement.
Yeah, I think that's a good angle to take on it. Like, I don't think anyone's, hopefully no one's gonna be like, yeah, like, well, so then no one will be like, yeah, just like replace us entirely. But no, like actually there's probably some people who are like, yeah, like that just replace me entirely. Not a lot of artists, I think, are feeling that way though. Like, you know, we kind of like doing, we like the creative part. It's kind of why we decided to make music in the first place and or create any kind of artwork. So it sounds like what you're saying is that, you know, there are some functional, you know, helpful things that you can use AI for. And that's kind of where you tend to lean is rather than just like kind of replacing the fun part of being creative and coming up with stuff, it can be a helpful tool to kind of either brainstorm creative ideas or fix specific like code issues and different things. So you definitely would recommend that people, you know, use it and are familiar with it, but use it as a tool to kind of augment their own creativity as opposed to just replacing themselves entirely.
Yeah, because I mean, I've also used like the Photoshop AI tools to kind of help, you know, fix some issues. So for example, if a client sends me a picture of this portrait and I could really do with a landscape shot, I find that their AI tools are really good for extending the size of the image. And sometimes it works not so well. Other times it's amazing. So it's been a lifesaver in that respect. But I have found, I don't know if you've ever used like the AI generation tools on images that have text in them, because the text comes out as nonsense. And
yeah, it's starting to get quite a bit better, but 100%, like text is like one of those things where it was almost humorously like bad for a long time. And now it's like often pretty good, but like sometimes it's still like a little bit weird.
Sometimes it's a bit wonky, but that sometimes just makes me laugh. And it kind of reminds me, it's like, right, we're not being replaced just yet. We've got a good year or two before that happens.
Yeah. Has not yet. It's wild. I mean, wild. But like, if you would have explained what's happening right now to someone like 500 years ago, they're just like, what? Like, this is a magical thing you can communicate across the world. What kind of witchcraft or wizardry is this? What we're doing right now, just like, what? You can talk to someone who's not actually there in real time across the world through a portal. In a little thing you hold on, like, what? That's insane. And now AI, you can just be like, hey, do this, and like magic, like it just happens. Man, just wild. Yeah,
it is. And even just thinking back 10, 20 years ago, half of the stuff that we can do now, we couldn't even do. So it's just things move fast, really fast.
Absolutely. I tend to lean in the direction that you're talking about as well, in terms of, you know, these are powerful tools that used at their best kind of augment our creativity and potential. They don't necessarily have to replace that part of it, but they can be used to brainstorm ideas. And I feel like I've heard an interesting point around how we used, most people used to just be like farmers, like 90 something percent, like we were just like spent our time like farming. And then we had technology come along and it sort of quote unquote replaced like all the laborers that like that we used to spend our time and energy doing, and that freed up time and energy to do different things and create new jobs and new roles and new creative things. But it tends to over time like have it leans towards creativity. Like when like technology comes along, like it actually opens up space so we can do more thought work, or we can do more things that are more idea based. And then sort of like using those ideas has become, you know, it's faster and faster and easier to have an idea and then like turn it into the actual thing. So I'm hopeful that AI and this technology will lead to just more of that, but who knows? There's some of the experts say that they think there's like a, what, 5-10% chance that's like, yeah, this could just be what wipes out humanity.
I'm hoping they're wrong. I mean, 5-10%, it's higher than I'd like that number to be, but that's still on the low end. So
yeah, it is. It is. It's like high enough to be like pretty unsettling. Like, well, like that's, but yeah, I'm optimistic. I think it's going to be a good thing, but also it's like, we can't, yeah, just put our heads in the sand about it too. Like it's like pretty serious threat level. Anyways, I appreciate, Ross, you coming on here and sharing some of your wisdom and experience as it relates to web design, kind of helping artists to discover their identity and be able to express themselves and put out a version of themselves that they feel proud of, that also is functional and kind of helps them to connect with their fans more directly. So for anyone that's listening or watching this right now who is interested in connecting with you more or potentially reaching out about web design work, what would be the best place for them to go to connect more?
It's going to come as a surprise. I'm going to share my website. So it's electrickiwi, as in the bird or the fruit, whichever you prefer, .co.uk. So electrickiwi.co.uk. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, everywhere basically as electrickiwi. So you'll find me. So yeah, more than happy to have a chat with people, reach out. I can answer any questions that you might have.
Nice. Well, like always, we'll put all the links in the show notes for easy access. And the Electric Kiwi, there's something about that name. I really like it. I feel like it creates a very visceral memory. I'm like biting into a kiwi, but it's like juicy and like electricity, like a shot. Like it's a good name.
Thank you. I mean, please don't ask where the name came from, because the story behind that is basically a non-story. It's not that exciting. But the one kind of upshot is that everyone thinks that I'm from New Zealand because Kiwi. And, you know, I've had New Zealanders reach out to me. Oh, I'm so excited to work with someone from New Zealand. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm not that guy. But it's a good conversation starter. And people do like the name. So I'm glad to hear it's memorable. Although one of my clients, and she couldn't remember the name after she heard me on a podcast, she was googling exotic parrot because that's what she thought the name
exotic
was.
Exotic parrot.
But she did find me eventually, and then we just worked together, which was nice.
I mean that's a fun journey, that's a fun side quest.
Yeah, I mean, because I did sit with her and I was trying to work back, I was like, so how did you get from exotic parrot to electric kiwi? And she was like, it took her a while, but it was nice to know that she invested the time trying to find me. So and I'm glad she did in the end.
Awesome. Well, Ross, it's been great connecting today, and thanks for taking the time to be here. And like always, we'll put the links in the show notes for easy access, and look forward to talking again soon.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah! Hey, this is Michael, and I just wanted to say thank you for tuning in to this episode of the podcast. I hope you found it really valuable, and if you did, if you want to share the word, we really appreciate you leaving a 5-star review on the podcast channel. If you want to learn more about the guest, you can check out the show notes for the links. And before you go, I wanted to remind you that I'm looking for new artists to mentor personally. Before we get started, we always offer a free 30-minute coaching call to make sure it's a good fit before you get your campaign launched. At this point, the artists that we've worked with have hit over 561.3 million streams, a number one album on iTunes, and have helped many artists grow from scratch to making a full-time income with their music online. In a few rare cases, they've even been able to generate $1 million per year with their music. That being said, we are very selective with who we work with, just based on who's the best fit and who we can best serve. And because we have a limited amount of time available for those free sessions, we do require an application process where you can submit your music and you can apply for a free coaching call with our team. So if you're interested, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to submit an application, share one of your songs. We look forward to checking out your music, and we'll see you in the next episode.